I seek refuge in Allah. I seek refuge in Allah, the all-hearing, all-knowing, from Satan, from Satan.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'ad, fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has stated, "Send abundant salat upon me on Fridays, for it is the day of presence. Angels appear, and whoever recites salat upon me, his salat, his durood is presented to me." The narrator said, "I humbly asked, even after your apparent demise." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Yes, indeed Allah has forbidden the earth to consume the bodies of the Prophet alayhi wasallam." Subhanallah azza wa jal. Such benefits and such thought-provoking points which can be gained from this narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Number one, that when we recite durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when we recite salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then this is conveyed to him. He personally encounters this. And the second very important point to be taken from this hadith is that the companions asked him, "Ya Rasulullah, what about after you physically pass away from this world? What about after your demise?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, indeed, even after my death, indeed Allah has made it haram. Allah has prohibited, Allah has not allowed the earth to eat the bodies of the anbiya." Meaning the Anbiya alayhimus salam, the prophets of Allah, they are alive in their grave. They are given sustenance. Their powers are actually increased in the grave as well. So when we recite durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should recite with the intention, we should recite with having it in our mind that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is listening to my durood. He's listening to my salam. And inshallah, through his blessings, my matters will become sorted. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Welcome back to the program, The Deadly Sins, in which we talk about those sins which cause harm to a person's iman, which cause a person to disobey Allah, which takes a person away from the path of paradise and puts them on the path of hell. As in the previous majority of the episodes, we have spoken about what the major sins are, how they affect a person, how we need to refrain ourselves from them. These last few episodes are dedicated upon the redemption, upon the way to protect ourselves, to safeguard ourselves from those sins. So we've heard a few various methods in which we've heard dua protects a person. We've heard the way we upbring our children, the way we raise people, that has an effect. We have also heard the effects of company, whether it is good company or bad company. And today what we are going to listen to is the topic of tawbah, is a topic of repentance, because people commit sins but they do not know how to repent. People commit sins, they do tawbah, and now they think, if I go back to my sin, then my tawbah has gone to waste and I will not make tawbah again. I will not repent again because I'm going to do the same sin again. These are the few questions and stuff that we will cover in today's episode. But first, let's listen to a story which has been mentioned in the glorious Quran in Surah Yunus. Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam used to live in Nainawa, the area of Mosul. And the people who Sayyidina Yunus was sent to, they were disbelievers and polytheists. They did not believe in the oneness of Allah. They were disrespectful, they would disobey. And Allah Ta'ala sent Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam to them, so he may give them nasiha, he may guide them, he may call them upon the truth, the right path. And so he did his work of da'wah. He did his work of calling towards goodness, calling towards righteousness. But they refused the call of Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam. And by the command of Allah Ta'ala, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam informed them that a punishment the azab of Allah, the atonement, the wrath of Allah is going to befall you. And when the people heard this, they became very fearful, because they knew that Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam, he has never told a lie. He has never told anything false. So the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they are prone to lying. They do not lie. They are protected from lying. So when they said this, that Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam has never lied, so what we will do, we will keep an eye on Yunus. If he spends the night in the village, if he spends the night in the area, then we know we're safe, because Allah will not punish a nation where his beloved or where his prophet is established. But if he leaves at night, if he goes away, then we know that we will be punished. When night fell, Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam left that place, and signs of punishment, signs of torment, they started to appear in the sky. They started to appear in the morning. A dark and terrifying cloud appeared in the night. A smoke covered the entire city. After witnessing this, they realized that the torment of Allah Ta'ala is near. So they looked for Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, but found him nowhere. Now they became even more petrified. They became terrified. Therefore, they went towards the jungle with their women, children, and animal. After wearing thick clothing, they repented from their sins. They returned to Allah Ta'ala. They did rujoo, they did tawbah, and they accepted Islam. And due to this extreme begging, extreme humbleness, extreme worry, they embraced the religion, and Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam came back, and Allah Ta'ala removed the signs of punishment from them. Subhanallah, look at the beauty and look at the love of Allah Ta'ala, that the signs of the torments have appeared, the thick, terrifying cloud, a smoke has covered the whole city, the prophet of the nation has left that city. But even then, when the people, they submitted themselves to Allah Ta'ala, when they came back to Allah Ta'ala, when they were remorseful of their actions, Allah Ta'ala helped them. Allah Ta'ala removed their difficulties. So this is something we need to think about, that no matter how much of a bad state we are in, how many sins we've committed, our days and our nights are spent in sinning. No matter if they're as much, as large as the foam on the ocean, the grain of sands, the leaf of trees, the raindrops which fall from the skies, remember, they are not greater than the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. They will never surpass, they will never go above, they will never go beyond the mercy and the love of Allah Ta'ala for His bondsmen. So if we truly want to repent in the court of Allah, then we should and we will be granted the acceptance of repentance. Allah Ta'ala will grant this to us, because Allah Ta'ala has made promises that He loves those who repent. He loves those who return back to Him. He loves those who realize that they have turned away, they have made a mistake, they have done an error out of neglectfulness, and now they come back to Him. And Allah Ta'ala is accepting of those people who come back. Remember, we might wrong somebody in this world once, He'll forgive us. We might wrong them twice, they'll forgive us. But the third time, He will say, what are you playing at? What are you doing? You keep repeating the same mistake. You're doing this on purpose. Get away from me. We will be rejected in this world. But it is the court of Allah Ta'ala that a sinner comes once, Allah accepts him. He comes twice, he comes thrice, he comes the fourth time, the fifth time, the sixth time, the seventh time, the eighth, ninth, tenth, so many times we return back. And Allah Ta'ala accepts that that person. Like the story mentioned in the hadith, that a person, he committed 99 murders. And then he goes to a saint, he goes to a man, and he says, I've committed 99 murders. Will I be forgiven? And the person, he did not have knowledge, he was not educated, he said, how can you be forgiven? You've committed 99 murders. So the murderer thought, I must do a century. So he killed him and committed 100 murders. And then he went to another person and he said, I've committed 100 murders. Will I be forgiven? Will Allah forgive me? Will my repentance be accepted? And that wise man replied, yes. Go to such and such a city. Seek forgiveness there. Allah Ta'ala will forgive you. So now this person who has committed 100 murders, majority of us have not even committed a single murder. So imagine the person who has the burden of 100 murders upon his shoulder, the sin of 100 murders. After shirk, the biggest sin a person can commit is murder. And he's got this weight upon his shoulder and he's walking towards this city. And when he gets close, he's on his journey and he passes away. Death comes to him. And now the angels of mercy come to that place. And the angel who bring punishment come to that place. And they say that he was a sinful person. We are going to take him and throw him into the fire of hell. And the angels of mercy, the angels of goodness say that he was on the path towards goodness. And we will take him into paradise. So the angels are disputing with each other. They are talking with each other. They cannot come to a conclusion. Then Allah Ta'ala says to the angels that measure the land between where he set off to where he is now, and measure the land from where he is now to that village he was supposed to go to. Whichever land he is closer to, the angels of that side will be able to take him. Meaning, if he has set off from that place and he has passed away at a place where he is still closer to his beginning place, then the angels of punishment will take him. But if he has set off and he is closer to that city, he is closer to that village where he was going to meet the people and seek forgiveness and be forgiven, then the angels of mercy will take him. So the angels measure both sides, and the side of the village, the side closer to goodness, was closer by a handspan, and the angels of mercy take him. Subhanallah, a person who committed 100 murders, a person who done so much wrong in his life, but he was still hopeful in the mercy of Allah. And this hope, this raja, this looking at the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, it got him forgiven and entered paradise. So we should think to ourselves that if there are habits that we are indulged in and we cannot get out of, then we need to truly repent. And if I was to ask you, what is repentance? What are the pillars of repentance? You might say, there are pillars to repentance? There are stages to repentance? Yes, and this is why knowledge is so important. That even though we want to become better, even though we want to gain the pleasure of Allah, we want to gain the rida of Allah Ta'ala, but because we do not know how to do it, we cannot do it. So the pillars of repentance are three. Remember this, when a person commits a sin, for him to truly repent, for his repentance to mean something, there are three levels, there are three stages. And he has to fulfill all three of them for his repentance to be accepted. Number one, feeling true regret, feeling remorseful over the past sins. So a person, he has a habit of disobeying his parents. This is a major sin. Now the first step is that he should feel remorseful and regretful over the sin he has committed. Number two, he should immediately leave that sin. He should not say that, okay, I am remorseful of my sin now, but I will leave this sin on a Friday, or I will leave this sin when Ramadan comes, or I will leave this sin when the month of Zulhijjah and I perform Hajj. No. When you are remorseful upon that sin, the second stage should be initiated straight away, that you abandon that sin. And number three, you make a firm intention of not committing that sin in the future. If you are repenting, but in your heart you know that you are going to fall into the same sin again, you will not be able to control yourself, then your repentance is not true. But rather you are mocking Allah Ta'ala. Astaghfirullah. When you have remorse over a sin and you have abandoned that sin, now the third stage is that you make a firm intention with yourself, you promise yourself that you will never return to that sin again. And that is the three stages of repentance. And when you have fulfilled all three of these stages, then you have truly repented in the court of Allah Ta'ala. And what is the benefit of repenting? A person might say that I have so many sins and I'm going to sin again. So what is the purpose of me repenting? Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, he says that repenting in both cases is beneficial for that individual. For example, a person has a million sins in his account. Now if he repents and then he dies, then he will meet Allah in a state that he has no sins upon him, because Allah has forgiven all his sins. The second scenario, he has a million sins, he does not repent, and he commits that sin again and he dies. Now he will meet Allah Ta'ala with a million and one sins. And the third stage, he has a million sins in his account and he repents in the court of Allah. And then he commits that sin again and now he dies. Now when he meets Allah Ta'ala, he will meet Allah Ta'ala in a state that he only has one sin in his account. So the only stage, the only phase, the only scenario in which a person is not benefited is when he does not repent. A person should be sincere in his repentance and he should repent. And due to the barakah, due to the steadfastness, due to the blessings of repentance, Allah Ta'ala will forgive him and will keep him away from that sin. It is mentioned in Surah Tahrim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. Translation from Kanzul Iman: O believers, turn towards Allah in such a way that it may become an admonition of the future. In this blessed word, the word nasuha is to be pure, because Allah Ta'ala is free from any impurities. When the second Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Amirul Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, was asked about true repentance, he radiallahu anhu said, it means that a person repents of his bad deeds in such a way that he never commits them again. And there is also that story when a person was holding vinegar under his armpit and he'd seen Sayyidina Farooq, and he said, Ya Allah, turn this alcohol into vinegar and I will never drink it again. And due to that sincerity of repentance, Allah Ta'ala turned alcohol into vinegar. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu has narrated that Sayyidina Mu'az bin Jabal has humbly said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is tawbatan nasuha? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, it means that a person feels ashamed of the sins he has committed. He then seeks forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala and then never returns to that sin, such as milk does not return to its udders. Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, by making tawbatun nasuha, a person's sins are forgiven. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives an example that just as how milk comes out of the udders and it will not go back in, similarly, when a person does tawbah, he should not return to that sin again. And that is the true sign of repentance, that you repent, and due to that repentance, it stops you from going back to the sin. And the beauty of repentance, subhanAllah, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who repents is like the one who has not committed a sin at all. Subhanallah. When a person, he repents, he does tawbah, then Allah Ta'ala removes the effects of that sin from his book of deeds, that it was as if he had not committed that sin. Remember, when you commit a sin with your eyes, or when you commit a sin with your hands and feet, then it is not only the sin which is written in your book of deeds, but rather your eyes become witness, your hands become witness upon that sin. That place in which you committed that sin, that place also becomes a witness. That tool you used to commit that sin, that also becomes a witness. But because of tawbah, because a person he does tawbah, he repents, Allah Ta'ala removes that sin from his book of deeds. Allah Ta'ala makes those things forget that they witnessed a sin. Like this, on the Day of Judgment, that person is protected from the embarrassment of this as well. Similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, whoever likes that his book of deeds should make him happy, he should increase istighfar in it. Subhanallah, whoever wants his book of deeds to please him on the Day of Judgment, that when his book of deeds open and it is read out, he is happy with what's written in it, then he should increase his istighfar in it. The scholars have said that if a person, he finds it very difficult upon him to protect himself from sins, to refrain from sins, to stay away from sins, then one wazifa, one litany, one prayer that has been stipulated to him is that he constantly does astaghfirullah. He constantly does istighfar. He constantly asks Allah Ta'ala for his refuge from the shaitan. He keeps saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And due to the blessing of istighfar, due to the blessing of reciting astaghfirullah abundantly, Allah Ta'ala will break that bad habit of sins from him, and he will be able to live his life with ease. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to truly repent in his accord, and give us tawbatan nasuha, that tawbah that when we make it, we never return to that sin again. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from all the major and the minor sins. Ameen bi jahi an-nabiy al-amin wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
I seek refuge in Allah. I seek refuge in Allah. The all-hearing, all-knowing, from Satan.